All right, verse 1, and probably going to give you guys a lot of instructions because teaching junior high and high school students, you have to repeat yourself a lot, give them instructions so that they are with you, all right? So we are going to be reading verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, we're going to talk about it. Verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and that the things that have or that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So this is Paul writing to Timothy and giving Timothy instructions on what to do as a young leader. And so the first thing that he brings up, the first person that he brings up on how to view ourselves is what? You guys can talk. A soldier, right? Do you guys see that? All right, in verse 3, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that is the first kind of job, okay, or term that we're going to use when in your bulletin, that the notes that you're writing, okay, is to view yourself as a soldier. He says, again, a soldier must endure hardship. So the Bible here and in countless places in scriptures tells us that as believers, we are going to endure hardship, that we're going to go through hard times. A soldier goes through hard times. We are going to go through hard times. The Christian life isn't an easy one. Okay, it's not something that you can just cruise by. And so the Bible is making that clear. It also tells us that for us to endure this, we have to view ourselves as a soldier who also goes through hardships. We're not just any soldier, a good soldier. So it gives that descriptive word right there, and it says, a good soldier will endure hardships in this life. So the question is what's the difference between a regular soldier and a good soldier? Is that a good soldier does not give up, right? A good soldier is focused. A good soldier is going to endure through every single circumstance. You and I are called to endure through every single circumstance if we want to be counted as good, as faithful. If we want to finish off this race, this life that we're living with a crown at the very end. We must not just be a Christian, okay, but a great Christian, a good Christian. And that doesn't happen very easily. So what I want you to think about is, let's just use myself, okay, and Pastor Robert. All right, what do you think is the major difference between us two? Age, okay. Someone said age, okay, which is true, okay, but that's not necessarily where I was going. And I'm not talking about physical age or time here on earth. What the age I'm going to be talking about is the age and maturity that he has over me. And there is one reason why he does have that age and maturity over me is that he chose to endure through the hardships as a Christian. And so he grew in his maturity, along with any other older believer that you have in your life as an example. They endured. James chapter 1 tells us that we're going to go through trials, and we're going to go through various trials. And those trials are there for a certain reason, right? They're there to test our faith, James chapter 1 says, so that we can be complete, lacking nothing in our lives. That is why those trials are there. And then it says that these trials, okay, at the very end of this, are going to produce a patience in you. And patience right there is an act of waiting, okay? And what I like to see that word as patience there is a maturity. That's really what it's saying, is that through these various trials, through whatever you are going through in your life, if you endure and you get past those trials, that you will receive patience, that you will receive maturity. So that is the major difference between him and I, is the maturity that he has because he has chosen to stick through the easy and the hard times as a believer. And from a youth pastor perspective, okay, this is the number one reason in my eyes, again, why students, and maybe some of you, even your students, aren't walking with the Lord presently right now. It's because when the trials came, when the temptations came that were too hard, when the friends came, or whatever it may be, they didn't endure. And they didn't allow God to work that maturity into their lives. They didn't allow God to work that patience into their lives. And so they gave up. They backslid. They walked away from God because they chose, again, not to endure during this, not to grow in that maturity. And if you have been a Christian for any length of time, right, you know more so than anyone else that you have to endure, that you have to keep going, that you have to keep fighting as a believer. You have to keep fighting for your relationship with Jesus. So those of you guys who are young in here, and it seems like they're all mostly over there, right, in that back section, right, what I'm going to tell you, and any one of you, okay, who have known the Lord for maybe just a few years or a year or even a couple of months, I don't know, maybe since last Saturday night, okay, is that you have to fight for your relationship with God now, right? When it's fresh and when it's new, you have to fight. And you have it in you, okay? Because you will fight for friendships, okay? You will fight for a boyfriend or for a girlfriend or for popularity or for this or for that or for an iPhone 6 Plus or whatever it may be, okay? You are filled with energy. You are filled with momentum. You are filled with passion, okay, for life and for the things that you want. So if there is anything to fight for in this life, as a young believer, it's for your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's something that's worth fighting for, okay? Your relationship with him. And then for those of you guys who are here, okay, regardless of what physical age you are, but you are somewhat mature, okay, in your relationship with God, you have been doing this for a while. Maybe you're even actively involved in church. Your job then, okay, my job is to not just be a soldier for Christ, to be a good soldier for him, to actively be ministering to others, loving others, okay, involved and in using your gifts so that those who are younger can see that example through you, okay? So your children can see that example through you, all right? I sit here just like you guys every Sunday, right? And I don't necessarily look up so high at Robert because he's at the west side, okay? But the stage is a lot lower. But who he is, okay, along with the other pastors at staff, okay, Ray, Troy, people in my own life, all right, I look at them and I do look up them because they did stick it through and they are continuing to living for Christ and it's encouraging. So I'm telling you that, you parents, you older people in this age or this group right here, this room, who have known the Lord, keep at it and be good at it. Set that example for them to follow after, for them to look up to. Give something else when it talks about a soldier. It says, no soldier engage in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him. So what the word of God is saying here is that a soldier separates himself. And he separates himself from the normal life, the ordinary life, the civilian life, to free himself up to go and to do whatever job is at task before him. So again, a good soldier will be focused and will be centered on what he needs to do at the job at hand, and he will leave everything else. You and I, the word of God is saying is that when we look at this life, okay, we have to look at the things that may entangle us, right? And I think the common thing is obviously sin, all right? We know that sin will entangle us. But if you want to, okay, you don't have to, I'm going to read it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So there's a difference between sin and between weight, all right? And that difference is that sin is sin. We know that, okay? We know it's missing the mark. We know that it is against God. The weight, though, that Hebrews 12, 1 talks about are those things which aren't necessarily bad, okay, but they're also necessarily not good for you. They're things that may distract you, okay, from all that you can do for the Lord and for the relationship, okay, that you can grow with him. And that is different for every single one of us, okay? When I was young, and what I share with the youth group is that for the most part, the weight that you have in your life are your friends that you choose to be around, okay? It's not good, and sometimes it's not necessarily the best thing, okay, for you to have these types of friends, but they're your friends, and they can weigh you down. So that is the primary one thing that I see when it comes to students, okay, is that their friends, okay, are that weight in their life. Having a relationship, not a bad thing, okay? But it could be. And it could distract from your relationship with God, right? For me now, all right, it's being too busy. It's filling my time up with things that maybe don't necessarily matter and not having that intimacy that I need with Jesus on a daily basis. And so what I would ask you is to look, to self-examine yourself, all right? Look at your life and obviously see the sin. If there is any sin, fix it, okay? Bring it before the Lord. But also look at the weight in your life, the things that, again, aren't bad, aren't necessarily good, but that are keeping you, are distracting you from your relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing, one Bible story that reminds me, and it's just such a clear image of what this passage is trying to say right here, these verses, is David and Bathsheba and Uriah, okay? Bathsheba was married to Uriah. He was a soldier. He left. He went to go to battle, and he was focused. David, not so much, right? And you guys know the story. Majority of you do, all right? He saw Bathsheba, and he slept with her. And sometimes when you sleep with someone, you have a baby, all right? She got knocked up by David, right? So, what happens when you sleep with someone and you're not expecting a baby, you freak out. David freaked out. Then he tried, and his eyes had this brilliant idea, and it was like, which it was a pretty good idea. He was like, you know what? I'm going to bring her husband back, bring Uriah back, and he will sleep with his wife. They're married. He's going to come back from war, probably something he wants to do, right? So he brings Uriah back. He brings Bathsheba's husband back, but as the good soldier he was, okay, knowing that he wasn't going to let anything entangle him, which was good or bad, he chose to not sleep with his wife. Why? Again, not that it was bad, okay? Probably was really good for both of them if they did, okay? But he chose not to because his mind, his focus was still on war. And so he restrained himself, okay, from having pleasures that he could have at home at being back from war. He was a good soldier, and that cost him something. It ended up costing him his life, but he is, I think, the prime example when the Bible talks about a soldier and it talks about not allowing the things of this world to entangle you, okay? He is the perfect example of that. Having that mindset that he had, okay? Not to enjoy the pleasures of being at home, being away from war, and of his wife. He stayed focused. So you and I, as good soldiers, okay, enlisted in this army with Jesus, we are called not to entangle ourselves in the things of this world, okay, not to have these weights on us, and to be freed up, okay, so that we can be focused at what's ahead of us. So, look at verse 5 with me. This is the second one. Hopefully you guys can catch on a little bit better. He says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So, the second term, the second person that we're supposed to look at ourselves as, or pick qualities from, is who? An athlete, okay? An athlete competes and is crowned if he competes according to the rules. As Christians, right, you should know this. We can't make up our own rules, right? They're set before us. God has set a way of life that we should live, right? And if you're curious about that, if you want just a list of what that is, then read Romans chapter 12. The very end of it, the last kind of passage of that, just gives a clear shot, okay, of how we are supposed to act. We're supposed to love without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another. It basically gives a list of attitudes, of ways that we're supposed to be living. You, again, cannot make up your own rules as a believer, as a Christian. You have to follow them. And in thinking about this, and thinking about the rules, okay, if you guys can remember back, I guess 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, at the 2012 Olympics, with the girls or with the women's gymnastics, do you guys remember Jordan Weber? Yes or no? No. Okay, this is probably why. Jordan Weber, all right, did not qualify for the all-arounds. Gabby Douglas did, and she won them all, okay? She had the gold. The all-arounds, you have to qualify individually for the all-arounds as a gymnast. And you only get two people from every single country. Jordan Weber was, at that time, at the 2012 Olympics, the best. She was the best women's Olympics athlete in the world, okay? And she was supposed to go all the way. She was supposed to qualify, win the all-arounds. She was the one to beat. And in the qualifications, okay, she made a lot of little mistakes. And all those little mistakes in her trying to qualify for the all-arounds disqualified her. She did not get the points that she needed because these little tiny mistakes made her imperfect. She wasn't following the rules. And because of that, she was disqualified. And so when the two athletes, okay, from every single country went and competed for gold with the all-around women gymnastics, the best of the best wasn't in there because Jordan, at the time, who was the best of the best, didn't qualify. If you look her up on YouTube and you see videos, you can see, you can feel just her emotions, okay, the loss, right, the tears when she understood that she did not make it. The best of the best in the world. Because she didn't follow the rules enough to qualify her. Again, you and I, okay, we cannot make up our rules as believers, as Christians. They're set. God has them there for us. He has these standards. He has this way of living that he wants us to follow. And if we keep making these tiny mistakes here and there, we will disqualify ourselves from receiving the prize, from receiving the crown. From at the very end of your life, you being in front of Jesus and him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We need to follow those rules. We need to follow those guidelines that God has set before us to protect us, to give us blessings, to give us joy. And again, so that we can have confidence when we see him. You want to have confidence as a Christian. You want to be confident that when you see Jesus, you did the best that you could have done, and maybe then some. You want that confidence. I know you do. Every single one of us do. And so look at what God has set before you. Look at the rules that he has before your life and follow them to the T, okay, so that you are not disqualified. So that you, in God's eyes, because he does view you as the best of the best, are going to be there confidently with him whenever that day comes. So we look at ourselves as a soldier, not entangled in this world. And then we look at ourselves as an athlete, following the rules, following the guidelines set before us in front of God, okay, to follow after him so that we can receive that crown at the very end. The last one, which you may not think is the best one, but which I feel I are a little bit more familiar with, is the farmer. Verse 6, it says, "A hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." So, the Bible uses a word before farmers. What is it? Hardworking, okay? As believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be hardworking at whatever we do. Your pastors, the staff here at Calvary Tucson, are called to be hardworking. at what we do. God is not interested, okay, in lazy ministers, okay? God is not interested, all right, in ministers who aren't going to put 100% behind what they do. When I came on staff 3 years ago as a youth pastor, I understood that long before that happened because my youth pastor, Pete LaJoy, was hardworking, okay? And I saw that example, and I knew that going into this, at least this season of my life, that I was called, okay, and that I needed to be hardworking with what was before me and the ministry that I had before me. You are also called to be hardworking. I am called to be hardworking. When it comes to our relationship with God, we are called to work hard at it, to fight for it, to do what we need to do, okay, to keep it going, to keep it strong. We are called to be hard workers in life, in ministry, right? And ministry is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. You are called to live in a way that you're putting others before you, their interests before you. You are called to live in a way where you are at peace with all men. You and I are called to live in a way where we are not so proud to associate with ordinary people or with humble people. You and I are called, okay, to be hardworking and to live in a way where we don't think higher than we ought to. And we're supposed to be hardworking, right? We're supposed to be putting all this energy into our Christian life. And we are also called to have joy and excitement in it, okay? At the Youth Workers Conference that I went to 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they were talking to youth pastors, and they said, you have to remind your faith sometimes that you're a Christian, okay? I have to remind my faith sometimes that I'm a Christian because I can get so focused on certain tasks, on certain things, that I don't allow the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm to come out at that very moment, right? So being hardworking is one thing, but then showing your excitement and your love for it is something else that needs to happen. That passion, okay, can't only be shown through the hard work, but through your body language, through your face, all right, through your teeth. People have to see it, okay? So you and I as Christians, okay, not only do we have to be hardworking, but we should have a joy and excitement, a passion that others see behind the things that we do, the ministry that we have, this life that we're living, right? And again, that is not always the easiest one, okay, to be hardworking as a Christian, to stay focused, to put everything you have into it. Farmers don't get a lot of mention. They don't get a lot of hype, do they? I would say out of these three, they are probably the least, okay, who are in society seen or talked about, okay? Soldiers, yes. Athletes, especially, yes, okay? Farmers, not so much. I think the last time that I heard anything about a farmer is probably when I was, I don't know, watching TV past 10 o'clock and a Farmers Only commercial came on, all right? Which is basically a dating service for only farmers, okay? That is probably the last time that I heard anyone talk about farmers was on a dating line commercial, right? Not the best thing, okay? But although we don't always talk about farmers, although we don't always publicize them, okay, we definitely benefit from them, right? Right? Your stomach benefits from farmers. My stomach benefits from farmers. We benefit from their crop. We benefit and we partake from their hard work. So as a Christian, as a believer, the reason why you work hard, the reason why ministry should be a lifestyle, the reason why you should do all the things that we talked about that are in Romans chapter 12, okay, is so that others can profit from you, from your relationship with Jesus. I know that, okay? I know that if I am not getting fed the word of God, I know that if I am not receiving from God, that I will not be able to put anything out for anyone. That my teachings to the students are going to be lame and they're going to be void. They're not going to be filled with any substance. People are supposed to profit from us as believers, as Christians. So you are hardworking, yes, because ministry is a lifestyle, because that's what God has called you to do. But then also, okay, a side product of that is that you and your life can be a benefit for the people around you. So three questions, okay, if you're writing any types of notes down, okay, just backtracking, looking at what we talked about. Do you work hard at serving the Lord in your life so that others profit from it? Do you work hard at serving the Lord in your life so that others profit from it? The second question, are you following the rules God has set before you to live a life that at the end you will receive the crown of life, that you will finish the race well? Say that one more time. Are you following the rules God has set before you to live a life that at the end you will receive the crown of life, you will finish this race well, like an athlete? The third question, do you have the focus in life like a soldier to live a good life away from any distractions that will keep you from pleasing the Lord? A soldier enlists to please his officer. We enlisted, right, in this army, in this life. We signed up for it. No one forced us to be Christians. We did it ourselves to please God. So, do you have the focus in your life like a soldier to live a good life away from any distractions that will keep you from pleasing the Lord? This was Paul's encouragement to Timothy, a leader, okay, a young person starting a church, running a church. These three different ways, these very simple ways to remember and to view your life. Focus like a soldier, following the rules like an athlete, right, and working hard as a farmer. Go back real quick, and we're going to finish off with verse 1 and 2. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others. The reason why this encouragement is there for Timothy is that he could live out this life, again, so that others may profit from him, that others may be taught by this lifestyle that he is living. Verse 7 at the very end, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. God wants us to have an understanding of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to follow after him in the right way. That's why he gives us these analogies. That's why he gives us these people, these job descriptions to look at, so that we can have an understanding of really what it means to be a believer in Christ, really what it means to follow after Jesus, to live a lifestyle of ministry. God wants us to succeed in this life. This is the reason why, okay, he gave us the Holy Spirit as an helper. He wants the best from us, and he has given us his word. He has given us the church. He has given us, again, the Holy Spirit. He has given us a mouth to go out and to talk to people about him. He has given us every single thing that we need to succeed in living a life for him. And above all that, okay, he gave us himself. I mean, what else do we need other than Jesus to be successful at this Christian life? Nothing, okay? But he is so good at just teaching us even more than just what's obviously in front of us and what we obviously know. That's why nights like tonight, communion, are so important, because you are able to have some time in this crazy week or in this crazy month that we have, that we only do this once a month, to really look at ourselves, to really focus on Jesus. And when we focus enough on Jesus, okay, we ourselves sometimes feel certain convictions. And in those convictions, which are good, growth is supposed to come out of conviction. And so I encourage you, when communion comes and when we take this time to reflect on Jesus, you again are naturally going to be reflecting on yourself. And if you are worthy, if you're at the right place right now to take communion, to rejoice in the cross. And if you aren't, take that time. Take that time that we're going to give you to focus. Take that time that we're going to give you, okay, to look at the rules that God has and to see if you're following them. Take the time that we give you to look at your life and see if you are really working hard at your relationship with God. And if you're doing those things, awesome. You should have that joy and that passion right now. If you fall short on any of those things, give them to the Lord. Allow him to come and to help you. Allow him to speak to you. Allow that conviction process to go through so that you can grow through it. And so that when communion comes around, you can be confident before God in taking it. I'm going to pray. Sean's going to come up here and he's going to lead you guys in that communion. And I pray that it's just a sweet time for every single one of you. Father, we come before you and we thank you just for your word, Lord. And I do pray for myself, for these students here, Lord, for the adults here, that we would be encouraged, Lord, by the soldier. We would be encouraged by the athlete. We would be encouraged by the farmer, and that we would see their job descriptions, Lord. We would see their lifestyle, and that we would fit them, Lord, those character traits in those lifestyles, in those jobs, in our Christian lives. Father, I pray that as we take communion now and as we remember who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us, that our hearts would be right, Lord, and that this would be an opportunity of growth for us as believers, as Christians. Lord, we thank you for your word and just for the power that it is and just how simple it is sometimes to understand and to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this time I'm going to call the servants forward to begin serving communion.